Hey, welcome to it, everybody. This is the brand spanking new after party for Sunday night's main event. We lied in that intro right there, though, because we said we're on TSN Radio, and we are absolutely not on TSN Radio tonight. I mean, technically, the show that we recorded earlier today is on TSN Radio. However, at the moment, we are just broadcasting to this patron-exclusive after party. So welcome to the dungeon. You know me, I'm Jason Agnew. Many of you have seen me before, and in that clever little intro there as well, that was just put together by Mark Andrada, which is absolutely fabulous. He is the man behind the curtain tonight, so thank you very much. And yes, I am slowly turning into Bartender Dave, John Taylor. We can see what you're typing in the comments. There you go. Bartender Dave has been an inspiration to me for many, many years, so I'm COVID is making me morph into him.
Oh, jeez.
So Dan the Mouth Lavransky, of course, is the other name that you are hearing. Hello, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, with your mask right there. You're taking it on, you're taking it off. This is a whole new thing for us.
I almost feel like I want to hide behind a mask after that paper.
You know, for those of you that listened to the show earlier today, both Mouth and I were so excited. I think I led the conversation with Meltzer saying, you know what, Dave? This is really neat. There's finally a sense of excitement going on in pro wrestling. We've got debuts. We've got different styles of matches. Mouth, you and I full on said there's something for everyone on this pay-per-view tonight. Hard disagree.
Well, I think there was something to offend everyone on this pay-per-view because it's really unbelievable, Jay. I was thinking the same thing, the way we talked about it so much. We were so looking forward to it. And I can't believe it took this much of a 180 in another direction. Like, there was literally hardly anything on this show that I enjoyed. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of this AEW product, and this show was a huge letdown.
No offense, Mouth. What is going on with your mouth?
It's my mouth. What do you mean, what's going on with my mouth?
You normally take your front teeth out when you do this. You're sounding all stumbly. All right, here's the deal. All right. Okay, so we're going to run through the pay-per-view tonight, and then we are going to get into we got Dave, who's already here. I think Joe's going to be joining us as well. And we are going to be you guys can raise your hands as well, and Mark will promote you up to the room so that you can have your say about tonight's pay-per-view. So, we started things off tonight. I was super excited. I hopped right into the pre-show. I hopped right into the buy-in, and immediately, we got Britt Baker and Rebel versus Thunder Rosa and Riho, and it was not Rebel, though. There was a whole storyline today on social media about Rebel trying to get out of this match. Rebel comes out on crutches. They do a whole deal where Britt tried to use a doctor's note that was of her own, and then she had to go get the Jags doctor in order to get that note. But it did happen. Rebel was removed from the match, and we got Maki Ito coming out and singing. Mouth, was this exciting for you?
She was a big pop star, man. She's had some big hits in Japan, right? So I'm not surprised they would play on that. I don't know. This kind of set the tone for the pay-per-view. I was not a big fan of this match. I just didn't think it was very good. I thought I just didn't get the sense that there was any chemistry in it. And I also thought it went too long. So I didn't.
Well,
I know you liked it better than I did.
I did, yeah. Well, I kind of thought, though, that it was a weird pairing. I mean, Maki, to me, screams to be a babyface, and Britt Baker is a solid heel in the promotion. So I didn't necessarily understand the pairing.
But the thing is, she actually does work as a heel. Ito does work as a heel, yeah.
Wow, scream babyface to me. Yeah.
Look at the way she looks. She comes out and sings a cute pop song.
Exactly.
She totally looks like a babyface, but she actually does wrestle as a heel.
I think the bigger story here is actually, though, that Maki was flown in. She wrestled in Japan yesterday, and she was flown in. I'm sure she did a COVID test, but there was no quarantine that went on here for that regular 14-day thing.
No, definitely not, no.
So if that's the case, then that definitely opens the door to other talent coming aboard and not having to do that quarantine. So this might actually be a really big step as far as allowing for more travel.
We could see more people coming in. If they're going to be that way about it, I don't know if that's necessarily the best plan. You should probably be at least, quarantining them to a certain degree. But if that's the way they're going to do it.
There was a really nice exchange in this match where I thought Riho going for a knee strike and Mackie managed to roll into a single leg crab. I just thought it was a good way to start. Eventually, Rebel hits Thunder Rosa in the head with the crutch while the ref's distracted and Baker gets the win here. It continues on their feud.
I just couldn't figure out all this stuff with Reba. To me, it was all completely convoluted, and it really had no reason to be there. Like, what was the reason for this whole faking of the Reba injury?
So that she could be at ringside and help with the distraction.
I don't know.
And essentially, having her there with that injury gave her the crutch, which was the weapon that was eventually used for the finish. And on top of that, you have a 3-on-2 advantage by putting her in your corner. It made perfect sense.
Okay.
This to me was the highlight of the show, Mouth. I need something to go on here.
No, there was another highlight. This was not the highlight for me.
Well, we kick things off the Revolution pay-per-view. Here we go. The title card is, rest in peace, Jim Crockett Jr. We talked about Jim Crockett on the show earlier today. And it started with the AEW Tag Team Championship, which I was very surprised at. MJF and Jericho versus the Young Bucks. Mouth, were you surprised this one started? I kind of thought it was going to be the Battle Royal or the ladder match to kick things off.
No, they actually announced that this would be the first match.
Okay. Jim Ross's voice is dying out of the gate here.
Oh, yeah.
But he managed to come back a little bit later, like in the show. It kind of faded in and out
Did you notice? For the first half of the show, he literally had to hardly talk at all because his voice was so shot. And it did come back a bit at the end. But honestly, he shouldn't have done the show because it brought the show down. And I think It should have just been Shivani. And they should have made an executive decision at the beginning and said, look, JR, your voice is not up to snuff tonight. You can sit this one out.
This match to me felt like the Young Bucks were throwing everything at the wall to see what stuck and came across young and naive. Jericho to me was a savvy veteran who knew exactly what to expect all the time and was able to thwart the Bucks. He even broke up the Meltzer driver at one point. MJF was always overconfident in the match and continually got caught being a jerk. They got their signals crossed a couple times in this match. Between the two of them, that is, between Jericho and MJF, as far as storyline went, Jericho ended up hitting the Judas effect on Wardlow on the outside. We got a super kick party to MJF. You had to love the selling of this with the drool coming out of his mouth.
that part of it was good. The problem for me, I think, with this match is it was one of those matches where it was really obvious. Like, Jericho and MJF had to set up things way too much for the Young Bucks. There were too many times when Jericho and MJF were just bent over waiting for the Young Bucks to do the spot. And it just, to me, it took me right out of the match. So really, to me, it wasn't so much the storyline stuff. It was the actual execution. I just thought it looked more choreographed than usual because I felt that MJF and Jericho were just constantly putting themselves somewhere so the Bucks could do something. Hmm.
Well, eventually the Bucks hit the Meltzer driver on Jericho and get the win. I thought the match was okay. I didn't mind it as the starter, not a super hard starter, but pretty decent way to kick off the pay-per-view. I will say the one thing that I liked about this match is they had me buying in several times that MJF and Jericho could have very well won this match and walked away with the tag titles. And that's something to be said in this match because there was a couple other down the line that I didn't feel that way with.
Well, I disagree. That never happened once for me. Right from start to finish, Bucks are going to win.
No, I thought that there was a couple of times where I jumped up and kind of thought that they were going to make it. All right, we are in complete disagreement. This is delightful and rare, actually. Yet, nonetheless, we'll come to a conclusion of how we feel about this pay-per-view because I know we've already traded a couple messages. The Casino Tag Team Royale was next. Here is the way that this broke down. The order of entry is selected by lottery. Two tag teams begin. Every 90 seconds, another tag team enters. The winning team gets a future shot at the AEW tag team titles. So in this match, you could tell it was one of many things that AEW did tonight to try to troll WWE, because you noticed, Mel, that they left the timer up on the screen the entire time to prove that they were not fudging the times like WWE does.
Yes, that's right. They did.
And along with that, I think it worked to their disadvantage here because I felt certain parts of the match were incredibly rushed. To me, this concept of doing a tag team Royal Rumble, which is essentially what it is, has the ability to be great. Yet I thought this match was a complete cluster.
It was. And it totally was. Yep. It was, there was, I actually felt there was too many guys. There was like 30 guys out there. And I just felt after a while it got too complicated. And plus, it's very hard to keep track when one guy gets eliminated and the other guy is still in there and the team's still in. Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. I just thought it was a big cluster. I didn't really see a lot of kind of cool angles coming out of it. Like
that's a great point.
Which yep. we usually do. Like the last time they've done these battle royals, you usually kind of see some angles and where some feuds might go. And I really didn't see a lot of that coming out of this one. I mean, they did. The only thing I think positive thing was once again made Jungle Boy look really super strong. Yeah. In this, and they continue to build him up great, I think. And I thought this was a big thing with him being in there basically at the end. I mean, he doesn't get the win, but I mean, basically he's in there right until the very end. So I thought they made those guys look good. And they also made Silver and Reynolds look really strong in this as well. Again, two guys that are kind of comedy characters. I thought they did a good job at making them kind of more serious players in this one.
I felt like this match, as I said, had every reason to be good. And the reason why WWE moves their times around is because they allow a certain portion to happen and they let that storyline play out and then move on to something else. This did not have
that at all.
It was let's wait for the countdown. Let's wait for the countdown. Let's wait for the countdown.
Well, no, that was it. They were just throwing stuff at you constantly. There was really kind of no time to breathe, which is what you need in a match like this, right? Like what you're talking about there. And that never really, like where you get to a part where someone's come and thrown everybody out and you're waiting for the next person. We didn't have anything like that in this one. It just seemed to be constantly guys getting thrown in. And that's why it comes across as such a cluster.
What they really needed here is someone like Tommy Dreamer to put this thing together, because he's the one, if you remember back, I believe it was at the All In pay-per-view, the very first one, Tommy's the one who choreographed that entire battle royal, and it was excellent. I will say, I do think this format has potential, and I do think this format is better than those casino battle royals where they assign everyone a diamond or a club, like a different type of card, and they come in randomly. Like, to me, that never made sense. I think that this has potential, but they need to let it breathe and they need to book it better.
And I would like to know when the guns raided Hulk Hogan's closet too, because did you see the gun? They looked like little Hogan kids there.
Oh, I think they looked like little Billy Guns.
No, they didn't.
That
headband. They looked like little Hogans. They were all wearing yellow.
Oh, you mean the yellow. I mean, the style of the way they dress is definitely Billy Gunn.
Oh, okay. I'm talking all that yellow. All I think of is Hogan when I see that much yellow.
So, I mean, we don't have to go through this whole thing as far as who comes out. I mean, also, they just loaded the top of this match with a lot of jobber teams. Like, when you have the Natural Nightmares.
Peter Avalon and
Cesar Bononi didn't need to be in this. The Gun Club didn't need to be in this.
No.
And when you get them plus the Seidel brothers plus the Varsity Blondes, I actually like Bear Country, and I think they have a lot of potential.
Me too.
I think that they're the one team out of the new pack of teams that I just named that I think did well in this particular match. And where was FTR? Did they not want a title shot?
I guess not. They weren't on the show at all, which is very strange in and of itself, right?
It's interesting. When I did the interview with Dax Harwood, he was kind of uppity at that, to say the least. He kept saying, maybe I'm just jacked up on coffee, but you know, Tony Khan, you really got to give us some TV time. And he kept saying this, like, we're signing all these new guys, but you really need to give us some TV time. The last 2 minutes of this match were beyond exceptional. Give me Jungle Boy and Ray Phoenix for the TNT title, and I'm a happy guy.
Oh, and did you notice, like, even with the smaller crowd, you could really hear the crowd when Jungle Boy and Phoenix were in there together. They were even singing his song at times during the Battle Royal. So I agree. I liked it coming down to those three. And I mean, Death Triangle, I guess, you know, that it'll be a good match with the Bucks. They'll work good with them as a team. So, yeah.
I still find that it's an odd team, Pac and Phoenix is an odd team. Phoenix should be with Penta, and Pac should be on his own. Like, make that swap. And I like, why wasn't Pac in the other match? Why wasn't Pac in the six man match and Phoenix and Penta in this match together?
That would have made sense. Yep.
Right. To me, that's a better team. They're just more synonymous together. All right, so Death Triangle's going to go on to get their title shot versus the Bucks. Backstage is where we go after this, and Dasha is with Paul White. White says only him, Tony, and the talent involved know what's happening here, and this particular talent, no one here can outwork them. I guess that's his new catchphrase because it's on his shirt. We'll get there later.
Yeah.
They do a cutaway of DDP and Al Snow that are in attendance. Delightful. And then we get to the AEW women's title match. Hikaru Shida versus Rio Mizunami. Rio Mizunami's hijinks and overacting within the first 2 minutes had me tune out of this match.
See, you're just not used to their style. I think that's part of it. That's the stuff where she does the fake rope pull thing. She does that in all her matches. Like, that was no surprise to see her do stuff like that. I liked her. I like her as a performer. I think she's good. I liked the match a lot. After about 10 minutes, they started to get really stiff with each other, with all the knees and the forearms and stuff like that. I just thought it was really good, strong match. And I thought it was interesting that they had Shida keep the title. I really thought they were going to switch it up here and give the title to Mizunami.
Oh, come on.
Oh, because
no way. Not a chance. No way ever would they give Mizunami the title here.
Why not?
Why? Why would you? I cannot see them doing that at all.
Why? Why not? You're not giving me a reason, Jay. You're just saying you don't believe they would do it. What's your reason?
I feel as though that they're going, when they do transfer the title from Shida, it's going to go to a North American talent.
They could do that, but I don't think there would have been an issue with putting it on her for a bit like here. I don't know.
I don't think she's marketable.
You don't think Mizunami's marketable?
Nope. Not to a North American audience.
I don't know. I disagree. I think I don't know. I just like her. I thought she was great. I really like her. And I thought it would have been nice to have a mix up here and have her win the title.
Shida got this one, and then it just got worse. And you got to agree with me on this one. When Nyla Rose runs in, followed by Britt Baker, and Rebel's in there with the crutch, and then Thunder Rosa gets the big save with the
toes out there. Yeah, music. Yeah.
But yeah, still.
It looks to me like we're probably going to see like a six woman on the TV or something coming out of this, I'm guessing, right? Yeah.
I thought the segment was terrible and made them all look weak. They should have just left that pre-match segment unto themselves and let these two go in this match and boom, moved away from this. This
I agree. You didn't need anything after the match. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. They announced that the next pay-per-view is going to be Sunday, May 30th, and it's going to be for Double or Nothing. And then we go backstage. Alex Marvez. This is where this pay-per-view takes a real slippery slope. You did care for the women's match, which to me, it was already headed downhill, but mouth like that one. This one, Alex Marvez, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor backstage, immediately attacked by Rusev and Kip Sabian. Miro ends the segment by saying, play my music. He brings Chuck Taylor out to the ring, keeps beating him up. Cassidy is nowhere to be found. Miro grabs a mic, starts to taunt Chuck Taylor. He beats him up. And Chuck starts to bleed at one point, and then Chuck says, "Ring the bell." Can you tell me what this was? Like, Miro is going to say they weren't going to have the match, and that's what he was asking Chuck to say. Let's just not have the match. Was that what was happening?
He threw Chuck into the window. That's where he busted him open, and that's why they have the collar there or whatever. And then, I don't know. I guess it's just the idea, like, you know, I think because Miro's this whole thing with Miro, he's kind of put this thing across that he wants to help Chuck and he wants to help him be a man. And I guess maybe that was part of it. He thought, you know, I can stop this. You know, we can work this out. I can stop this. I don't know. I was just as confused as you by the whole thing, right? And I'm so done with the Miro character. Like, it's really bad now. It's just so annoying.
I don't think either one of us ever started with the Miro character.
Well, you know what? I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt at first, but it's gone so far downhill. And again, you have to believe that this is what Miro himself wants to do. You know, I think this is his idea of what he feels will be work for him. And I don't know of anybody at this point that wants to see him do this. Like, it's just sad.
So as they're beating down on Chuck, eventually Orange Cassidy shows up. He drops Miro with an orange punch on the outside. Cassidy and Sabian wrestle. Cassidy does all his regular spots to Miro, the hands in the pockets, all of that stuff. Miro pushes Cassidy into Penelope. This is where we did see some storyline advancement here. Miro pushing Cassidy into Penelope. Penelope takes the big bump off the apron. Miro then grabs Sabian and tosses him into the ring as he's checking on Penelope. Miro eventually gets the accolade on Chuck. So, Mouth, what's this telling me is that these two are headed towards a breakup because Miro cares about no one but himself and winning.
Well, I would like to see the whole group break up, personally. I would like to see Miro be completely separated from these guys. Like, just have Kip and Penelope go off one way and have Miro go off another way, and maybe we can hopefully help this Miro character out. But he really needs to be on his own and away from those guys before anything changes, I think.
We go backstage once again here with Marvez. He's with Jericho and MJF. And, oh, speaking of breakups, I guess we're going to do that back-to-back here, at least tease it, because Jericho's upset with Marvez, saying that they failed tonight. Jericho says they're an army, and they're going to change their battle plans. Jericho says on Wednesday they're going to have the Inner Circle War Council.
Why?
On Wednesday on Dynamite.
Why would you have your Inner Circle War Council on TV so everybody can see what you're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I've liked what Inner Circle has done when they've called these meetings before.
Well, no, because the other stuff made sense, like a press conference, those kind of things. But this, like, War Council, that's strategy. You don't want, like, Jericho's already told us, everybody watches the show, so you don't really want to have all the whole roster watching, kind of figure out basically what you're going to do. Seems kind of stupid to me.
This segment here was definitely to showcase MJF saying that Jericho is right, and he also thinks there's time for a change within the Inner Circle. So
yeah, he actually,
they're teasing the MJF takeover.
He actually said, I have an idea that could make the Inner Circle better. So yeah, there's your tease right there.
There's your tease. We go next to the big money match, Matt Hardy versus Hangman Page. The winner gets all the losers' first quarter earnings. I mean, neither one of us cared for the build here.
No, and definitely not.
At this point, I'm really fading in and out of this show. I'm having a tough time here, Mouth, at this point. And this match in this particular spot didn't do the pay-per-view any favors.
Well, no, because really what the issue, and again, for me, this was the guys themselves, like particularly Matt Hardy, taking me out of it. Matt Hardy is the wrong guy to have in there with Adam Page, because you have Matt Hardy, who is broken down. His body is not nearly, does not work like it used to. And you have Adam Page, who's kind of at his peak. I almost felt Adam Page had to slow down a little bit in this match so that Matt Hardy could kind of keep up with him. So that was kind of the big thing for me here. And they still seem to want to continue this Dark Order thing, right? Because it comes at the end, the Dark Order actually come out. Private Party comes out to help Hardy. The Dark Order come out to help Hangman. You know, so they did that spot where Page gets knocked off the apron, and the Dark Order catches him and throws him back in, and that's where he gives Matt the big lariat and gets the pin. And they even did the big group hug afterwards. So that seems to be going on. Yeah, I think everybody's in agreement that we need to see Adam Page get away from these kind of angles, and we need to see him in a much stronger position. He should be somewhere, really, he should be near the top working towards the title picture. He shouldn't be fooling around in little things like this. So maybe with all that money he gets from Matt Hardy, he can maybe bribe the championship committee and get up there in the title picture or something.
Unfortunately, though, I mean, with the Dark Order running in and doing the save, it looks like they're continuing on with that. So I don't necessarily see them progressing to, you know, putting Paige back up the roster. I mean, maybe with Miro breaking away, maybe Miro and Paige is the next program.
That's random.
That's probably not going to happen.
Or maybe perhaps Paige and this new recruit that is the hardest worker ever or whatever.
Yeah. can't outwork that guy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that now because we get into the ladder match from here, and the winner gets a TNT title shot. It's Cody Rhodes with Arn Anderson versus Scorpio Sky, Penta El Zero, Lance Archer, and Roberts is there, who does get involved. Max Caster and the TBA here, and well, we were right, Mouth, with the TBA. It is Ethan Page.
Yeah, we both talked about that, actually, on the show this afternoon. So that was kind of one of the more logical picks. He had just been let go from Impact and that. And he's the type of guy that the AEW fans and the AEW management would know. And he's a good worker. He's and local boy for us. He's from Hamilton, right? He ran his own wrestling federation in Hamilton and the whole deal. So I'm happy for him to get on a platform where he could probably showcase himself a little bit better than what Impact did.
Yeah. Now,
with that Karate Man silliness.
Well, I mean, the Karate Man silliness was bad. Also, you know what's bad is hanging something over a ring that you call a brass ring that looks like a golden life preserver or perhaps a hemorrhoid donut.
It did not, in fact, look like a piece of brass in the slightest. No, it looked like, yeah, it looked like cheap plastic spray painted gold or something. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And you know what? It should have been smaller.
It shouldn't have happened.
Oh no!
It should have been a brass ring. I mean, give up on stuff like that.
I honestly don't have a problem with that because you have to have something. What should have been up there then?
A contract's fine.
Like on a clipboard. That's it.
Sure.
Have the pen right there. They could sign it as soon as they get it.
Might as well. That's what Christian did.
Yeah, exactly.
They're big on signing things. And can Christian just leave the thing in the ring?
Yes, he did. He just put it down and left it in the ring. I guess maybe it's not like a retirement where you leave your boots, but I'm not sure what it means when you leave the contract in the middle of the ring like that. But that is what he did.
The brass ring was one of many things tonight. See, that's one of the things where I think they're getting carried away.
With what, taking shots at Vince?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's taking a shot. And that's like, if you do
it
any
is,
sort
it,
of-
it is. It is taking a shot. You're absolutely right. But, I mean, you have to have something to represent. It doesn't necessarily – you can't make it a briefcase because that's taken. And really, a contract on a clipboard, I suppose you could do that. I didn't have a problem with it because it represents something. It doesn't bother me that much.
But if you're – but what I mean is they got carried away with that concept even when the prop that was put in place was clearly something that looked like a life preserver.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know what I mean? Like you're pushing this forward where if I see that as a TV producer, if I run a test on that and I see that above the ring, I go, oh, we need to let's put the contract up there.
Well,
we need to rethink that.
I suppose that would have been better, but I didn't have a problem. To me, it should have looked like a real brass ring, like you said, not like a hemorrhoid donut.
All right. When Cody comes out, did you notice this, Mouth? When Cody comes out to the ring here, we see Jade Cargill and Red Velvet at ringside in the audience. I didn't care for that. I feel as though they're now bigger stars after doing that match, and they shouldn't be hanging out with, you know, Sunny Kiss and all of the jobbers in the audience.
I didn't like the fact that they were shown when Cody came out because I don't want them to be associated with Cody anymore in any way.
Well, if being associated with Cody is because they've just come off that match, right? But I just didn't think that Jade Cargill, especially after being associated with Shaq, should just be maybe if you cut to her up in a private box because she's living the high life because she's associated with Shaq, cool, but not just standing at ringside. That makes her she loses how special she's being presented.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, because you're right. Most of the time, the people at ringside are the low-end dark participants, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This was, it was a ladder match. There was a lot of crazy spots. Anything that jumps out in your brain, Mouth, that you want to highlight here?
What was that one? The Penta did that friggin' crazy Canadian destroyer on the ladder or something like that. That was
where he does the Canadian destroyer to Cody.
Yeah. Penta gave Cody the Canadian destroyer on the ladder. That was pretty crazy.
He protected Cody very well. And then Cody took off and went to the back after that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And then that one spot where Paige gave Sky the Splash Mountain onto Lance and Lance was sandwiched in the ladder. That was a pretty nasty spot, I thought.
That was where Lance just hung out there, right? Did you notice that?
Yeah. Well, that's it. He was waiting for them to do the spot, right? The other thing that was weird for me, why did Cody come back with his weightlifting belt and start hitting people with the belt? I thought that was really stupid and silly.
It's very Hogan-like. Remember Hogan used to always take off the belt and whip people?
I guess so. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But I mean, they didn't do anything like super over the top crazy. I mean, there's a lot of spots where two guys would be on the ladder and they'd tip the ladder over, but they didn't really do some of the more outrageous ones you might see in other ladder matches. I thought in terms of that, it was fairly well protected. And I like the idea of Sky winning. I like the idea of Scorpio Sky winning. They've been kind of trying to slowly changing him into a heel, talking about how, you know, he's the face of the revolution, which was the name of the match and that. So I think, you know, and I think Darby and him will have a good match too. And I don't know if they would switch the title, but I could see them maybe doing it, maybe switching it to Sky.
Yeah, Darby, I mean, they have a built-in excuse to do it. Well, they're both going to be really beat up because they're doing that match on a Wednesday, if you can believe it, after these guys have both taken such terrible punishment.
Right.
I mean, if it was a matter of if Scorpio took less punishment and then you have Darby coming off that crazy match, it does give you an excuse to put Scorpio over there.
Mm-hmm, right, but yeah.
I don't know necessarily. Darby's
hurting, right.
Justin Roberts announces it is now time to meet the wrestler that is here to sign a contract with All Elite Wrestling. They do the exact same countdown that they did when Christian Cage debuted in Impact. And the theme music was almost dead on as well.
Yeah, almost exactly the same, yeah.
Why would you do this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea. That one made no sense to me. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why they, especially with the music, because that was the one that struck me is right away. I'm like, that sounds like his Impact theme. Why would you do that? Unless, does Christian own that piece of music or something?
Maybe.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
He comes to the ring. He signs the contract. He just puts the contract down from what I remember. He reveals a t-shirt that says, "Outwork everyone." And it's done. He doesn't talk. Doesn't do anything like that.
That was it. Nope.
I guess we get that on Dynamite. To me.
Yeah.
I was good with Ethan Page, but not so great with this Christian thing. Not the guy I wanted to see, but I've said it over and over again. I wanted him in WWE with Edge.
That's it. You mean you had a preconceived thing of what you want to see with him, right? So, of course, him showing up here is not going to be to your liking. I feel it's underwhelming. I think you and I, we talked about this, how it's really hard to pick something. Like, I think we talked about Christian and we both threw it away thinking, oh no, there wouldn't be that. So I find it somewhat underwhelming. I mean, I didn't want to see Kurt Angle or anything like that, but I thought, I was hoping it would be someone with a little bit more of an impact than Christian. Cause really to me,
you didn't even mean to do that, but he is definitely an impact player there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's to me, he's kind of past his due date, and I'm curious to kind of see what they will actually do. Like, how much is he going to actually work?
Sean says apparently that music is an Evanescence song.
Oh,
so
okay.
I guess it is the exact same piece of music, and he decided to use it.
So Tony Khan get the rights for that in perpetuity?
Perpetuity?
Perpetuity, yes.
Yeah, maybe. All right. The street fight was next. Sting, Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks, Brian Cage. Cinematic match. Joe will have his say in a little bit on this.
Oh, I'm going to beat Joe to it, I think.
Matches. This thing...
Horrible.
So,
horrible. Why was this even cinematic? This was just like a regular match. This was just like a regular street fight. It took place in a ring. They did the same stupid things you would do in a street fight. Why did... And Sting was fine. He looked great. They did lots of stuff where they would focus on two other guys and leave Sting out of the picture for a while. I have no idea why it had to be cinematic outside the fact that they got some new lights and they got a smoke machine and they wanted to use them. I just thought, it's like I said the whole time, this should have been a regular match. I don't think it should have been a cinematic match. And the other annoying thing here was Taz. Taz was so annoying during this match. Taz, and why were Taz and Tony Schiavone agreeing with each other? Like, this whole thing was just horrible. I just hated it. Terrible.
Well, I'll take it one further. I mean, you're doing a cinematic match, one that's clearly been edited. Do you have commentary on that? Should you have commentary here, or should you just let this play out when you use a score? Because if you look at the Boneyard match, it didn't have commentary. That's right. I can't remember. Didn't. Did the Stadium Stampede, did that have commentary? I don't think it
did. Yes, it did. Yeah, no, it did. Oh, okay. Yes, it did. Yeah, it did.
So that's what AEW does then. They have commentary over their cinematic matches. But I mean, the Stadium Stampede was great. I loved it. But
that had a reason to be cinematic, Jay. Right. Honestly, I would have enjoyed this a lot more, I think, if it had just been done as a match. And I think people would have been a lot more impressed with Sting if it had just been done as a regular match. And the other thing, it was boring. If you're going to do something cinematic, crank it. Like, don't keep it. This was so boring. It was just a lot of brawling for 95% of the match. It was, I wasn't expecting a lot out of this, but it was even worse than I thought, because there seemed to be no reason for it to be cinematic. And you did go cinematic and it was still freaking boring.
It also took a long time to get started. You started with, Starks and Cage getting in a car.
Yeah, we had to drive out there.
We had to watch the process of Darby hitching onto the back of Sting's pickup truck in order to get there on a skateboard.
Yep.
This was, and then we also had Hobbs and Hook show up at one point in order to beat up Darby. And generally towards the end of this thing, I mean,
Sting gives Starks the Scorpion death drop and pins him. Yeah. So again, why couldn't it have been a regular match? And Taz should not be doing commentary. I'm really tired of Taz doing commentary.
Now, if you thought that match was bad, it's time to talk about our main event today. Our main event of the exploding barbed wire death match, Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley. Now, I did not have high expectations going into this match, Mouth, nor did you.
No.
We talked about it, that maybe this is not for us. Maybe this is for a younger viewer. And I did see on my Twitter timeline a whole bunch of people really enjoyed this. Now, I was not watching the Twitter timeline when the sparklers went off at the end of it to see what people thought of that.
You know, again, that part really made me gasp, because I think you and I even talked about this afternoon, and I talked about how when they did the original ones, this exact same thing happened. They didn't have the explosion worked out. It was built up to be this big thing, and then when it went off, it was almost exactly the same thing in the match with Foley and Funk. It was the same thing. A bunch of sparklers happened. There was no explosions. There was no big sell of it. That part was almost like a joke. It was almost like they were doing a parody of this by doing that, because they should come on. And the announcers, Excalibur, was over the top with the explosions. And just Tony, like, constantly with, whoa, where are we? Is it 10 minutes? We got 5 minutes left. How much time do we have left? Like, they didn't even know what was going on. It was just so, so disorganized.
I think that part was intentional, though. Not knowing how much time is left, I think, was intentional to try to get the viewer to believe that the ring could explode at any time.
I don't know, man. The fact that Tony just seemed to be so unsure about it. Like, why couldn't you have a timer right in front of you telling you how much is left with it? They didn't seem to know what was going on. And the other thing, too, I thought, is if you're going to do this match, do it. And again, much like the cinematic match, I thought this was pretty lackadaisical. I have seen exploding death matches that are way more over the top than this. I really didn't think this was particularly crazy. Like, what stuff in this did they, that when they had the unsanctioned match, it was almost,
that was worse. That was worse, I thought. I thought that one was actually worse and more damaging.
Like, this one was just, this one was really simple stuff. A couple body slams into some barbed wire. They used, like, the barbed wire bat and stuff like that. And we had the Good Brothers run in to beat up Moxley. You know, they had an exploding bat, I think, at one point that they hit Moxley with. It was, again, if you're going to do this, do it. Like, don't fool around, and certainly don't tease explosions and then give us sparklers like that. Again, I feel like they're parody. I feel like they're laughing or something, which takes all the intensity out of it.
John is saying here in the chat that after the show, Mox went on the mic and said, "We can agree on one thing. Kenny Omega may be a tough son of a bitch, but he can't make an exploding ring worth a shit." because the gimmick was that Kenny made the whole thing.
That's right.
I tell you who else this made look bad, and that is Eddie Kingston, who came out at the end of the ring to cover his poor pal so the sparkler burn him and get him.
So, you're right. That's even worse than just having the two participants in. A guy coming in to save a guy from sparklers. Oh, my God. And did you hear the announcers were over the top trying to sell? Like, they still tried to sell it. When the sparklers were going off, Excalibur was still trying to sell that it was a major explosion. I'm like, guys, throw in the towel. This has not worked, and it's horrible. And you shouldn't, you of all people, AEW, should not insult your fans as thoroughly as they did with this, because that was just ridiculous. Like, they should have known. They could have done something that looked much more like an explosion than what they did. I can't believe they left it like they did, unless it got to a technical point and they couldn't figure out what to do, and that's all they had left. But there was some really poor planning, obviously, went into this.
I guess you can't run a test because you end up blowing. Just add more fireworks. Let me tell you something. If Mark Andrade was in charge,
much
pyro.
How about when they would even have Undertaker just come out to the ring? The fire that you saw come out of the ring post was more impressive than anything we saw tonight.
This was Gilbert level.
This was backyard wrestling level. This was horrible. This was a terrible show. It's a contender for worst show of the year.
It's an early contender for,
as much as it pains me to say that, this is an early contender for worst show of the year. And worst match of the year, too.
You have to admit, though, part of that is the hype that we put on it as well. The build and the excitement that we have.
Wait a minute. That's not our fault. That's not our fault. They did that.
They did a great job of it. They did a great job of it.
This has happened before, though, Jay. That's what I'm really even more upset about this show is because this has happened before. They did a show last year. I believe it was one of the full years where the build was fantastic. And I remember Joe and I, when we reviewed the show that night, we were both incredibly disappointed because it didn't live up to the build. And I don't know if I've ever seen that happen before, where a promotion is so good at building and then not giving you the payoff at the end. It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen. It's usually the other way around, you know? So I don't know. Bizarre. Very, very, very bizarre.
You mentioned your co-host, Joe Aguinaldo. I can tell he is in the room at this point.
Yes.
So our Oz behind the curtain there, Mark, if you could maybe shift things around so that we could now get a bit of Joe's take on here. So Joe's there. You guys can see him now. Joe, I know you're a person who very much enjoys a good old gimmick match and a cinematic match. So as much as our expectations for this pay-per-view, Joe, would have been high, I would say the exact opposite for you. So maybe you're giving this a thumbs up.
Oh, hell no. No. Oh. I agree with Dan. Like as much as I love the AEW product, I nosedived pretty hard. I'm going to say halfway through the tag match, the casino tag battle royal. And then once we started hitting the gimmick matches, I just couldn't do it. I agree with Dan. I thought the street fight with Sting and Darby Allin could have been a normal match. And I think it would have been 100 times better if it had been just a normal match. Off the top, I liked, actually, oddly enough, the two matches that I enjoyed probably the most, were the women's matches, like Thunder Rosa and Rio versus Maki Ito and Britt Baker. Like that a lot. I'm not sure I liked the ending, but I did like the match overall. I did enjoy, Rio Mizunami versus, Shida, until we got to the end. For me, it was a solid thumbs down. And I tried really hard to like this pay-per-view. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, thumbs down from Mouth, of course. Well, I think Mouth has thumbs are in the ground. Thumbs down from me. All right, that's Joe's take. Bartender Dave is with us as well. So let's bring on Bartender Dave as we continue to expand this roundtable. Bartender Dave, you watched this thing. I saw you putting up some sass on the Facebook page this evening.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it sass. I just call it being me. But yeah, this was something special. This show was something special because this is how it started. I was going to illegally stream this show. But then I felt bad. And I thought, you know what? These guys are making money off of this. And so I paid the $54.99 Canadian to buy this show. And I did it. I bought it.
Okay. Yeah.
And it wasn't worth it.
I mean, we all bought it. That's the thing. Well, like, I actually paid for it as well.
Not everybody bought it. I'm sure people I mean, in this chat.
Dave, oh, like, Dave, I mean us. We, yes. the yeah, four, the us. Five yes. of us actually yes. all paid yes. for it
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, of course,
And bought it, which is insane because, okay, we're all doing this from Canada. So yeah. That's 220. There is about $275 that we just paid to AEW.
Yeah, exactly. And I was okay. I did not want to watch this. I didn't want to buy it. And then I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe CM Punk might show up.
Oh,
that's your own fault. What I thought. No, exactly. That is totally my own fault. But yes. I thought maybe something might. Christian Cage? Are you kidding me? This guy can't pass a wellness policy within the WWE, so he goes to AEW. That's what happened.
Hold up. No. Okay.
Oh, come on. Yeah. You tell me, Joe.
No.
Dave, if you're going to be that sassy, you got to turn down your microphone a little bit because you're overmodulating.
The problem with Christian Cage isn't Christian Cage. It was the fact that they said it was the biggest scoop ever. That was the problem.
Yeah, I don't know if they said the biggest scoop
they
ever.
I watched the show. They said the biggest scoop ever. You say the biggest anything ever, and that's going to get shit on by everybody.
It's going to get shit on by anybody. But you know what? It's going to get shit on more if it's Christian Cage.
Okay,
the guy hasn't done anything in 5 years other than the Christian and Edge show, which was awesome, by the way. It reeked of awesomeness.
But again, like, that's the thing. If they just said we have a big surprise and it was Christian Cage, hey, whatever. But if you call anything the biggest scoop ever, it's definitely not going to help.
No, you can't just say and you call it and whatever. It's going to be a big surprise. No, it's not going to be a big surprise. It was Christian Cage, and I love Christian. He's from what's he from?
Orangeville.
No. He's actually from Kitchener, and he moved to Orangeville. But like either or, it doesn't matter. It's not Toronto. Toronto's the big city. But like seriously, like it meant nothing. It meant nothing to anybody. You can't tell me it meant anything to anybody. Did it? Christian.
I just felt like we're treading back in Impact territory with
doing That's this. What it is. It's TNA. TNA. It's not even Impact. It's TNA. And it hurt because I really wanted this show to like make me think, oh my God, I was wrong about AEW. This show made me think, oh my God, this is TNA. And I did not want that to happen.
Sad. Dave is angry.
Dave needs some sedatives, and we should tuck him in and put him to bed.
No. Night. Come on. You tell me one thing that happened in this show. One thing that happened in this show that made me happy that I spent $60 on this show. One thing.
Well, obviously nothing did.
No, anybody, one of you.
Okay,
of you
well,
three.
Let's do that now. So let's do that now. So this is because we're obviously not taking calls because we're not on the radio. if you guys want, what we're going to do here is you can raise your hand by using your Zoom control, and then we will be able to take your phone calls. Mark has put himself onto the screen now. Mark, you have a thumbs up. I'm guessing that's not for the paper.
Green shirt.
I know you do love an event, though, Mark. What was your take on tonight's show?
Yeah, I mean, I had a nice time, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I mean, was it good? Nah, that's questionable.
Tell me one thing that was worth my $60.
Listen, I can't tell you what's worth your $60, man.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. No, one of you people can tell me what you liked about this show.
Well, that doesn't mean that you liked it.
You said none of you are telling me what you liked about this show. Tell me one thing.
This is a stupid argument, and let's put it to bed and let's move on. Okay?
It's not an argument. I'm asking you one thing that you liked about this show.
No, that's not what you were asking. You were asking us one thing.
Both of you, hold on. Mark, go ahead.
I could tell you, Dave, what you the initial question you asked was what made it worth your $60. Exactly. And I can tell you exactly what made it worth your $60. I think you're somebody who really enjoys being angry. And I think this gave you a great reason to be angry. So there's $60 worth of anger for you right there.
It was a good release for you, Dave, obviously.
Listen, I'm not trying to say that the pay-per-view is good. I enjoyed it because I like it when things happen. So I'm pretty easy to please as far as that kind of thing goes. I mean, if we go back and talk about the Darby match for a hot second,
yeah.
You guys touched on the commentary, and I think that was the problem for me, mm-hmm. was the disconnect with the commentary. Yep. I think that match wouldn't have been as difficult or I think it would have been more enjoyable if the commentary matched what I was seeing, because it was the same commentary that you get for a regular match, which is fine in the Stadium Stampede. Because that still has the same kind of vibe to it. Whereas this is very, it's an affected look, right? There's drone shots that, you know, people are falling from the sky through all kinds of, they're doing all these stunts and stuff. I feel like if there was either no commentary, oh, there's also music playing behind it. If there was no commentary or a commentary, a different team maybe that matched what I was seeing, I think it would have been better. But it was a real disconnect for me. It didn't make sense. Yeah, that was my thing. I also wanted to come on screen just to put up a poll, because we're talking about what we thought of the show. So I'm going to launch a quick poll and see what everybody else thought of the show tonight. Thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs in the middle.
Look at this interactivity delight. So you guys can vote. Oh, and we can see this in real time.
They're voting like mad.
Yeah, not so many with the thumbs up.
Thumbs up
portion, but there's a couple, and I invite those people that did put thumbs up there, a few of you, to raise your hand, and let's see what we got as far as people who did like this show. And then, Mark, do we have a couple hand raisers there? Can we pop somebody on?
We sure can. First up, we have Sean. He's coming up. It'll take him a sec to join us on stage, as it were.
Ooh, look at this. What a delight.
I know, right? I know. Mm-hmm. What a dream.
Ah.
Sean, you're here. If you want to unmute or turn on your camera, you can do either one or both.
Hello.
Hi, Sean. Hey.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not turning on my camera. I'm in my pajamas and stuff.
That's fine. You don't have to.
Okay.
So, turn Sean, your mic's pretty hot right now. Maybe step back from the mic and ask your question.
Okay, so...
You just blew bartender Dave away.
Sorry, I'll turn this down.
You're all right.
Okay.
You sound fine.
All right. Well, I have no major qualms of the show except for what everyone else said, the disappointment. I wasn't too crazy about the street fight, and I really wanted the ring to go boom.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They certainly made it sound like it was going to, but, you know, I just find it amazing. After this was a problem 30 years ago, you would think that they would have figured out a way to do it by now.
Even if they had pulled a stunt like we saw with Big Show and Brock Lesnar, where they just dropped it down as the explosives went off, it would have been much more effective than what they did tonight. I mean, that's something that's already been proven, and WWE has been able to accomplish pretty well. Thank you for the... Well, I was going to say call. Thank you for popping up and raising that hand there, Sean. Appreciate it. I do see we have one more hand raised from what I can tell with our interaction here. Mark, who is next?
We have Justin. Justin is on his way in. Justin, same deal. Justin can't hear me. and Justin can hear me. Justin, if you want to turn your camera on or just unmute, up to you.
All right, so we can call him Justin, but actually this is Randy. So I can tell by the mask that we're seeing there. So this is Randy. So Randy, go right ahead. You were on the positive side of things tonight, were you not?
Yes, I was. I was totally on the positive side. It was different. We didn't see a whole bunch of different type of matches as we did in the last while anyways, as tonight. The only match I really didn't like, and I'm sorry, Dan, and I'm sorry, Joe, was the Rio Shida match. I really didn't like it. For the last 10 minutes, I thought they were doing the same thing over and over and over again, and they were tired. And it was very repetitive. But all the other stuff, I know you guys aren't a big fan of the Dark Order and Adam Page. Hey, pause up, because I really enjoyed it. I want to see Adam Page go to the Dark Order. I'm a comedy guy, though. I like seeing that Carney comedy, I guess, going in the wrestling. But honestly, I did really enjoy it. I don't know why you guys didn't as much. I was actually expecting half and half, but not from everybody.
I was not disappointed with Ethan Page's debut. I thought that that was fine. And I also thought he looked great. I thought that he's in the best shape of his life. It looks like he's taken his time off to really, really get himself in shape. And his performance was fine as well. So no problem with the Ethan Page thing. I just thought that there was, the expectations were high going in, and I really didn't think that they delivered. Like, I mean, Randy, did you care for the, you know, you point out the two things that are taking us into the semi-main and the main event, the cinematic match, which don't know why there was a need for that. And then the main event with the sparklers at the end, did that live up to your expectations?
The main event, you're right. It was, how can you say sparklers going off at the end was a spectacular ending? No, it wasn't. Absolutely wasn't. I was expecting maybe the ring to collapse or something, like big explosions on the side of each corner, ring collapse, so on and so forth. It didn't happen. It was a big letdown on that aspect of it. I was hoping not to see a whole bunch of blood, gore, like the last match, the hardcore match. So there was some in between on it. Again, I enjoyed it. To a point, I'm not going to say it was the best pay-per-view I've ever seen, but it definitely wasn't the worst. So, it was good. It was good to me, except for the spectacular ending that we were expecting to see. Everybody was expecting to see, right?
Well, and the announcers were pushing it so hard, too, especially that last 10, 15 minutes of the match. They were pushing it hard, you know, and they push something that hard, you got to pay off. You don't, you know...
It had to have been a mistake. It really had to have been a mistake in somewhere, because it didn't look right at all. So that guy's fired tomorrow.
Well, we'll see. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much, Randy. Thanks, appreciate guys. It.
Just one other point I want to make, Jay, off your Ethan Page comment. I agree. I liked what they did. But it now, follow-up is really important, because they did not have him win the match. And he could easily disappear onto Dark now or something. So I really hope that they have actually something planned with him. Because like you, I agree, he's quite talented. And I would hate to see him just end up being on Dark now for the next little while and not seeing him after this big debut.
I think that's going to be a bit of a problem with the expanding roster of AEW as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we have other television properties that are coming into play, but we're going to be missing these guys on Dynamite. I think that there is going to come a time, and it's with this second television show, that things will broaden out and we'll be expected to watch that second show in order to pick up on all the storylines that are happening.
Right.
Dave, you had your hand up there. Did you have something to...
Yeah, that Ethan Page is somebody that has really grown in the industry, because he's like, we followed him when he was in what's the one that Anthony Carelli did?
Destiny.
He was in Destiny, and he changed himself and made himself so much better, and you look at him and he looks like a main event player now, and he has done such amazing things with himself, and just he's turned himself around, and I think that he's going to be really big for AEW, and I think that it's a good catch for them.
Mark, let's go to our next person that is up. Are we headed to Matthew next?
You bet.
All right, Matthew. So Matthew is hopping in the room. And Matthew, as long as you unmute, we will be good to go and be able to hear you. What do you got to say about tonight's show?
All right. Well, this is quite the esteemed group I'm addressing here. I'm a little bit nervous here. I didn't think it was a terrible show like some people did. It wasn't really memorable, but, you know, it was fairly entertaining. I think the main event was good except for the ending. I'm glad they didn't try to kill each other. Because as we've seen in other matches with the barbed wire death matches and or, you know, just barbed wire matches where they're it looks like they're really going to hurt themselves. At least, you know, most of the things they did look kind of safe. Now, sure, the ending was a complete dud. Like, obviously something went wrong there. But, you know, it didn't really detract too much. I'm glad Kenny won. You know, he's a good wrestler. Not the best in the world, but, you know, he's decent.
Okay, Shane McMahon lover. Jeez, I knew you had to work that in there. This is Matthew Smith, who like worships all the ground that Shane walks on, right? Like, you know, so yeah, of course, I was waiting for it.
I thought it was done nicely and very subtly.
Yeah, look, that's look, right.
You're gonna get your little wish at WrestleMania, and he's gonna fall off a cage. So, you know, enjoy yourself.
I will. I'm looking forward to that one, Daniel. Thank you.
Okay.
The two women's matches were good. I enjoyed those. A bit of the miming, I think, was, you know, a bit much at that point with, I forget her name, but, you know, pulling on the rope and stuff.
Maybe for
the Japanese audience, maybe they get that thing. I'm just a regular white guy. I don't understand that type of thing. So, you know, it's beyond me.
Well, but that's the job of the promotion to take that and make it palatable so the rest of us can all understand it. It's just they haven't done it with her yet because she's just new to the roster, right?
Yeah, I think it's only the second or third time I've seen her wrestle in AEW anyway, so I don't remember her first appearance from last year whenever it was they showed it. So, I mean, the match was fine, though. I enjoyed the match. The ladder match, I don't really, you know, I didn't care too much for the ladder match.
Shane McMahon wasn't in it?
Well, yeah, of course not. Without Shane, you know, nothing really counts. But just, I'm glad Cody didn't win. I have to say that. I'm glad Scorpio Sky did win, though, because they're really pushing him hard, and I think he really fell off to the wayside, and he's a great talent.
I agree. It's about time they put something behind him and give him a push. They when they broke him off from SCU originally, I thought, okay, this is it. They're finally going to do it. But yeah, he's really been kind of stagnating. So yeah, hopefully this is the beginning of a bit of a push for him. And really, when you think of everybody else that was in the match, he was really the best choice to win, unless you really wanted to go full out and let Paige win as his debut, which they didn't want to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes sense. There was a lot. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, it gives Paige something, you know, something to go towards. You know, that we can kind of, you know, follow him and his rise through AEW.
Sorry, go ahead, Chase.
No, I was going to say I was just going to move on to our next point.
Oh, and I just wanted to say also there's one other match. Oh, the Hangman Page and the Matt Hardy thing. Matt Hardy's just got to stop wrestling. I don't know. I'm just not. Yep. I guess him and Miro should form a tag team and just disappear. They can stay on AEW Dark or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's the same way. Thanks for the thanks for chiming in there.
Oh, just
Matt.
One more thing, Jason. Just one more thing, if you have time for it.
Do it. All of the gimmicks. Wow, the whole Zoom thing's really bringing in new people.
I love it. I love
it. That's very funny. Very funny. Gets the Shane McMahon thing in and the Mark Andrade reference. Very funny. All right, we are continuing on here. So, Mark, let's bring in our next, Zoomer. And that is Paul is on the line. So, Paul, pop on in, turn on your mic, and go right ahead with your thoughts on tonight's show.
Hey guys, first, thanks very much for putting this together. It's really fun to see you guys put the show together like this. As far as the pay-per-view went, it was just felt like lackluster. Like you would get excited for the match and be like, okay, this next one will be good. And then it would be the finish would be disappointing, or, you know, something would happen where you're like, I don't really like that, or it would go a little too long. Then you get up for the next match. Oh, okay, this one's going to be exciting. And then again, something disappointing. I just felt like, I mirror a lot of what was already said, but it just, at every chance it had to excite, it disappointed. And that was sort of the way I was left, particularly when you saw the sparklers at the end there. It was somebody in the chat. Somebody in the chat said that Eddie Kingston was knocked out by the burning schoolhouse fireworks.
So yeah, I forget
who said that, but what a great call out. That made me laugh. But all in all, just kind of unfortunate thumbs down, because I think there was some really fun moments and some things I really liked. But every chance I got to get up, it seemed to knock me back down.
You know, and that's a great point, Paul, because that's what the build did. Like, I was really excited for most of these matches by the build. And that was the thing. You're thinking like, oh, this is going to be great. And then it just didn't pay off for whatever reason. So yeah, definitely disappointing.
Awesome. Thanks for the point, Paul. All right. I think we've got one more that is on the line here, Mark, that we're going to bring up, and that might do it. And that is John wanted to chat.
Yeah. John Taylor. There we go. John Taylor. Feel free to unmute.
Go for it, John.
Hey. I just want to say my expectations were actually exceeded. Not by the pay-per-view though, but by the Sunday night's main event after party. You guys have done great.
So our first one we're working on, we're going to get some ring lights next. So we're going to work on all that so you could actually see us, but thank you. And to the other, patrons that have chimed in here today and have actually tuned in, obviously a new thing for us. And, we do have an announcement coming about, the radio world. We'll see how that all syncs up. I just need about two more weeks or so, but yes, thank you, John, for chiming in.
Yeah, I hope you guys continue this. And I encourage any Patreons who are listening to this on podcast, if they do this again, join in. I mean, we're having a lot of fun in the chat, seeing everybody on the Zoom. So this has been great. When it comes to the pay-per-view obviously didn't exceed my expectations. And I agree with Mouth when he says it's kind of weird how it's the opposite. Like, we always talk about how WWE does a terrible job of building up their pay-per-views, and then the pay-per-views end up being, you know, sometimes pretty good, but usually better than the build. With AEW, it's always the opposite, where you have this great build, and then it's just, for some reason, it just doesn't hit the mark. And even I was trying to think about, you know, was there anything that I really liked about tonight's show? I think the women's matches, but that was about it.
Yeah, I really wouldn't even give it. It is hard to pick a highlight tonight, because even the two big debuts, like Ethan Page was fine, and then Christian, ultimately, that's a disappointment, and that's really, Mouth, as you said, that's on them because of the way they promoted it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You can't say stuff like this is the super big announcement and then not deliver. It's got to be someone of note. If they wanted to bring Christian in, there would probably have been much better ways to do it than this.
Yeah,
they could have had him just show up on Dynamite or something, right? I don't think it deserved the kind of fanfare they tried to put on it.
Yeah, my first thought when I saw it, I'm like, oh, TNA. And I really don't want to think about TNA when I think of AEW.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, you don't want to see them go down that path. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that does it for us tonight, guys. We're going to wrap up this after party, our first after party. Mark, you have your finger in the air.
Yeah, I've got one thing. Just because, you know, AEW didn't deliver the explosions that you were hoping for, doesn't mean we can't. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So there you go.
That should have been the ring at the end of it.
I thought were talking about Bartender Dave when it came to explosions.
Oh, no. I don't know where he went. I think he blew up.
He blew up, yeah. I think. He literally blew up. He was so angry.
All right, guys. We are wrapping up. So next week, we're going to be back doing the regular show. The regular two-hour podcast will be up on Sunday afternoon the following week. We are back for Fastlane. Oh, my goodness. We should be doing this again for Fastlane as well. Thank all of you for popping into the Zoom room, and for all of you for listening online as well for the podcast version. We continue to plug away. New Radio Home is on the way as well. Wait for that announcement in a couple weeks. But thank you, Joe, for staying up so late with us, and Mouth, and to Mark for you know what, putting this whole thing together, because without you this doesn't happen, pal.
Oh yeah, you guys would figure it out without me.
Mark, you know what, I think more than ever this is the one we end with, and you can do your phrase after this, Mouth. Mark, I love you. That's where you say brother, Mouth.
Oh, brother.
There we go.